you love takeaway, travel, and international cuisines? Then you're going to love the Takeaway Man podcast. Join Kevin Kerwin, the Takeaway Man, as he searches for the best international food delivery services accompanied by popular musicians, comedians, and artists. But here's the catch. Each guest gets to pick their a food delivery service, order their unique menu items for up to $20, and give a thorough review on it so you can get the best value for your money next time you order takeaway. You can also enjoy the entire experience on Instagram by following at The Takeaway Man. Sit back and turn up the volume because Kevin is here.
Hello and welcome to The Takeaway Man podcast. Today on The Takeaway Man podcast, we have Dan Doy, who's a group rep for Intro Travel, a drummer, and the podcast host for the Hayden podcast. It's a gaming podcast, and I just think we have so much in common and so much things to talk about. But Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How's things? Everything all good?
No issues. What was I saying? I don't know how I'm starting it. No issues. I'm just saying thanks for having me, man. Like, I heard about this podcast. I was so excited to be on it. But yeah, no, things are good here. Loving life, you know, just doing a lot of drumming, a lot of podcasting. And talking about games, it's just been great. Been a good few months.
Yeah, man. There's some of the things that you've been talking about on your podcast as well. Like, I was lying in bed, listening to the stuff, and it was just like, there's a new Switch? What?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
I was like, hold on a minute here. Like, so
we get a lot of inside news. We know it very quickly.
So the likes of the new Switch and stuff like that. And the way I'm still playing Rainbow Six. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever played Rainbow Six? The newest one. Yeah, it's
it is incredible. Very good game. But I remember I started playing it probably about 2 years ago. At this point, you know, it's been out for such a long time. Yeah. And the learning curve for that game is so high. Like, I was awful at it for so long. Yeah. But I don't play it anymore. No, I was so bad at it. I was just like, I think I'm past the point of learning. I can't learn with pros. Do you know what I mean? So, it was a great game and I love it. But my God, yeah, so hard.
I've been playing that now pretty much for, say, a year and a half or whatever. So happy days. But when I transitioned from playing that into now playing Modern Warfare and stuff like that, and you're kind of going like, are these lads just automatically bulletproof? Because when you're shooting them in Rainbow Six, you get like one like headshot kill and all, you're like, unreal. Now you're playing Warzone, it's like,
yeah.
And you can see, you're like,
RPG.
Yeah. And then there's other parts where, like, I'm watching like lads on like Twitch and YouTube and stuff like that, and they're just walking around and they're not even looking, they're like, bang.
Yeah.
It's like dead.
And they kill people in like seconds. Somehow it takes you like 20 shots, it takes them like two to the face, and that's it, you're gone. Don't even know who shot you.
Yeah. And then that's it. And then you're just sort of sitting there, especially like when you're doing solos, or whatever, it's grand. You can sit there, have a beer and have a little cry to yourself because some little French kids after annihilating you. You're like, yeah, that's great.
It's so true.
And then, or when you're playing with your mates and all, you're like, how are you dead already? Like, there's been so many times where like we've parachuted in and the lads have just broken their legs because they haven't opened it up in time because they've been eating a packet of crisps or something. They're like, bonk, eating a packet of crisps. And then you have that in your headset and you're like, oh, mate, what are you doing? And then he breaks his legs instantly and you're like, I'm going to charge you an actual $4,000 now. Because it's bullshit. Like,
that's what you get for eating crisps. You get your legs broken.
And they're always like real loud, like hunky dories or Pringles or something. And you're like, what are you
doing? Like McCoy's or something. Like proper thick crisps.
Yeah, well, that's right. So, there's it. That's an unreal introduction. Proper game and podcast introduction.
I do try.
What's your favorite drink that you go for? I know that you've been to like the Thailand and Bali and stuff like that. So you have your Changs, your Bintangs and all the other kind of petrol that you drink over there that's rocket fuel. So
yeah.
Are you still on that stuff over in England or?
No, I mean, it's not unfortunately, it's not the same here. Like, I have tried a Chang from Tesco, and Tesco Chang just, it's awful. It doesn't really give you the buzz that Chang in Thailand does. I remember my first time I went to Thailand and I had, you know, they do the massive Changs. They do the big bad boy Changs. That was my first beer getting there. I remember after the bottom of that beer, I was smashed. Because their beer is unregulated. So it'll say like a 5% on it, but it could be like, you know, 25%. It could be crazy. But no, I don't drink it here because it's only like 4% here. If I drink beer, it's for a good time usually. So I try and go to like pale ales and stuff for a bit more punchy. But yeah, no, back in Thailand, though, I was all over the Leos. If you ever had Leos.
That's the thing, man. Leo for the win. Like
exactly, Team Leo.
Yeah. And the thing is that like you're going over there and you see all the lads and their little singlets and their chang and you're like, you literally have branded piss on your fucking, you know, like, it's like chang, it's cool logo, looks great, real Thai kind of thing, but like give me a Leo any day. I'm just like, so never get sponsored by chang on this day.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is good though, the bintang in Bali. And fun fact for you, I just saw behind you, you got Heineken, right?
Yeah.
Heineken make bintang, or they're like the same company. So Heineken and bintang, yeah, it's the red star because the red star's on the bintang logo as well.
So
fun fact for you, the bintang and Heineken are pretty much the same thing.
Holy shit.
But
I loved it so much over there, like it's
good.
Yeah, and that's I think that is like when you're starting to do these kind of solo trips and the travel trips, is that like the first thing you're doing is you're finding which beer can you drink, and you're like, nope, not that one. It's kind of like Harry Potter's sorting hat. here's a chang, here's a singha or tiger beer.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, yep, this is me. Grant gives you a crate of them for 20 euro and you're just walking down the street. Like, well, that's mad. And have you ever had like, I think one of the biggest experiences for me being on like those kind of holidays is that like, You always load up on your beers, but you always forget about water. And you're just like, it's always the night after, and you're like Gollum coming out of your little shed, and the sun is beaming on you, and you're just like, just give me anything. Like, yeah. It's so bad.
I used to hate water until I started partying in Koh Phangan. And then now I'm like, I love water. There's just the best cure, you know? Like you say, you forget about it. You're like so busy drinking all these beers and trying them out, I guess.
Yeah.
And you have a bucket of spirits and stuff, and you're like, crap, I haven't drunk any water throughout the whole day today. I'm screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so you were saying there that you've been to like Koh Phangan and stuff like that. And have you worked with Intro in Koh Phangan, or did you do the Asian side of things? Because just for our listeners who don't know, Koh Phangan is the full moon party. Like that's pretty much it. The full and half moon party in Koh Phangan is where it's at. I was there once, and it was a fun time. I got whipped with the fire and done all of the stereotypical tourist stuff. But what was it like for you, like working over there?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. Like Thailand was the first place I worked in when I was a leader, so that's where I got my placement. And I kind of started off liking Koh Phangan more than Bangkok, because Koh Phangan is just, it's like, pardon me, it's like Paradise Island. And, you know, it's there's a lot to do there. There's a lot to see as well. You know, during lockdown, me and a few leaders spent about 6 months there just exploring the island. And, you know, there's places like the Chinese Temple. You've got loads of waterfalls that are just pumping out water after rain season. You've got like incredible beaches where there's actually a restaurant where it like breaks away from the beach and you have to walk across a bridge and it's like on top of a rock. And it just, it's such a cool, crazy place, you know?
Yeah.
And it was actually where the leader house was based in Thailand. So when you finish your tour, when I started there, we used to do, you know, 7 day tours, and you just, you know, you drop your group would go off, 9 day tours. And your group would go off to do the 12-day tour as you would stay in Koh Phangan. When you finish each group, you actually get to spend a bit of time in Koh Phangan, and, you know, just kick back and you know, learn a lot more about the area. And it's just, the full moon party is incredible. It's very cool. There's a lot of people, but, oh, man, just to see that many people in one place is, it would probably seem unbelievable in this day and age, like not likely to happen again, but... it's something special. It is very, very special, that place.
Oh, big time. And like, from what my experience with the full moon party was, a mate of mine, Dennis, he booked this little shed, and the shed was beside like, when you're saying you're staying in a hotel, but the hotel is a shed, and like it's amazing in one sense because you're trying to like relive this kind of thing, but it was right beside like this over 18s water park yoke, and it was just like the whole situation was just mad. And then when we got down to kind of like Hat Rin and all that stuff, like it was my first time ever being in sort of like a tropical sort of country where I was on my little moped and I was like, yeah, this is great. And like, instead of there being like crows and magpies, there was monkeys. And you're like, and then like you're pulling up and the locals are kind of going, yeah, don't try feed the monkeys. Like you, the monkeys are there. You're over here. Take your picture with your phone and then fuck off. Because like what people don't really know is when you go over to them places is that like those monkeys are fairly aggressive and that as well. Like, have you ever witnessed that or anything like that over there?
Not so much. I mean, I was always kind of used to stay away from the monkeys on the island. I haven't actually seen too many monkeys on Koh Phangan.
Really?
Yeah, like there's been the odd one or two times I've been kind of driving a moped through the hills and, you know, one is kind of just sitting in a tree, but
yeah.
Very rarely see them on the road and everything. But yeah, they can be quite dangerous. Like if you try and obviously give them your food and they want more and you don't want to give them more, then you can see why there would be an issue there, you know?
Yeah.
So, they are cute to look at, but yeah, don't try and feed them anything. I'll try and eat all that food, you know?
Oh yeah, big time. And there was a yoke as well that I saw, and I don't know if it was in Thailand or, I think it might be in Bali or that as well. They're saying that like, if you leave the ends of your drinks that the monkeys run out and they drink your beers on you. So there's just all these hammered monkeys that are on the beach. It's like, hold on a minute. That looks fairly familiar. It's less hairy.
I could imagine that would actually happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy there. They do have a monkey beach actually in, like Koh Phi Phi area.
Oh yeah.
And you go to the monkey beach and, you know, there's times every now and then where the monkey steals like a can of Coke out of someone's bag and it runs down the beach. You can see it just like cracking open like it's done it before. And you're like, this isn't your first time, is it?
Yeah.
Not your first time.
And, you know, like with the... So say if you were over in Koh Phangan for however many months, that means you would have done like 7 or 8 like full moon parties and half moon parties and stuff, or would it be a thing that when the full moon is on you just go on the opposite side of the island and try to get away from as many tourists as possible and leave them to it? Like
during lockdown we were actually, you know, everything was just stopped, like it was a good few months and we didn't see another full moon party when we were there because you know, it was just lockdown the whole time. But I've done 7 or 8 full moon parties now.
Wow.
I can say it's good until it gets to the 4th or 5th full moon party and you're like, okay, you know, I can definitely tell this is my job at the minute, you know, because I'm doing this now just to get the night over with. But as an experience doing those 4 and 5 times, you know, before you start to get bored of it, it's different every time. And you see the amount of people getting together and you just think like, this island is a lot bigger than you think, you know. It's special. And it's just fun to people watch as well. You know, if you love people watching, the forming party is like the place to go.
Just
sit in a bar and look out at the beach and you will see some absolutely hilarious stuff.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I saw a match it. And one of the funniest things that I could actually do, and I don't know where this came from, I was like, really, if God gave me a superpower, this one's fucking shit. I could walk down like at the full moon party and go, you're Irish. And like people were like, sure, Jesus, look, there's your man. And I'm like, I don't know. It was just like this aura around Irish people, because it was mainly, or the same with kind of like English as well. You kind of sometimes I kind of hit a few duds where I was just like, you Irish. And then they were like, nah, they're not like Welsh or something. But it's generally the people that are just on like, they're at 10 for like 4 hours straight and they're just necking buckets, having them on their head and just running around and just having the absolute time of their life. Like, and then you have like, my biggest problem when I went to the full moon party was we went at like 7 o'clock.
What, 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you must have been absolutely knackered.
It was like, we were there and it was just like, all right. And it's like 7 o'clock and we got our little band and like I got the 7-Eleven like painted tattoo thing. And I was like, oh,
well, the professionally done one. With
Charge
I love that.
They charge you the professionally done price. You'd swear it was going to be on you for the rest of your life. How like your room was there for, it must have been about an hour to try to do a 7-Eleven.
That's it. You sober up by the time you finished.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so you have your 7-Eleven thing and, like, it is, it's good in that sense. But like, anyone that I've ever been to, or like even the people that I was talking to there, even afterwards, they're like, ah, it's not the same now. It's not the same. You should have been there 20 years ago.
Yeah. You're like the OGs.
Yeah. Oh, when I did that in the late 90s, now I was like, all right, well, I did it like a year ago. And if someone offered me to do it again in the morning, I'd definitely do it. Yeah. So,
Yeah. They act like you would never want to experience it in the 80s as well. They're like, you know, you won't know what it's like. It's like, oh, I wish I would know what it's like, but we can't, you know, time travel. That's not a thing at the minute. Yeah. So I love that though. The OGs, they're funny.
And that's the thing. Like, and they're like, oh, no, you didn't experience it the way I experienced it. I was like, it's the same island. It's the same bucket. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Now, the only thing that I will say that was kind of like a bit of an eye opener to it was the amount of police and stuff like that were kind of going around. And it's something that people don't really kind of talk about with the full moon party, is that like it is heavily policed, like, and there is like a family orientation side of it as well, where like they want to kind of have more kids and stuff like that go. But it's just real kind of weird in that sense. Have you ever kind of come up with any sort of major issues in regards to the police or anything like that over there, or has it been cool?
No, man. I mean, the police in Thailand, they're good, you know, when they have to be, they're great at their jobs, you know, and the full moon party is obviously a very serious thing for them. It, you know, it goes back years and years ago. It pays their wages. It's huge for the island. But I've never seen, you know, you see all this mad stuff and you think, you know, there must be a lot of police issues, but you never see it really. Like, it usually gets sorted out among either those people or the people who work there, and the people behind the bars are like, you know, come on, calm down. We're all having fun. And that's where you get a sense of like, you feel quite safe there. Because it's heavily policed. You can find people everywhere. And, you know, we're all in the same boat. It's a huge beach with thousands of people on, you know, if you're going to get claustrophobic, someone will happily help you get out, you know? So, and that's what I said to my groups, you know, like I was like, I'm here. But yeah, we used to be quite good friends with this bar, drop-in bar that was there. I'd be like, you know, if you ever get lost, just come back here, talk to these guys, they'll help you out. And Thai people, they're just the most caring people ever. Yeah. They will help you. And they will, you know, if you feel a bit scared, they will help you. So no, I've never had any bad experiences with police, I could say, but yeah.
Happy out, man.
It's great.
The one thing that that happened to me at the full moon party was that, like, we went too early. Two, we started drinking out of buckets, and just the buckets can be like your best friend and your worst enemy in a split second. Like, so
did you start at 7:30 with the buckets, or did you give a bit of time until
it's a slippery slope, like, and it was like, like, it's just like spot the tourist kind of thing. I may as well have been walking around with a big backpack on with a little sun visor thing with like sun cream on my nose, like going, oh, I can't wait to do this, you know, like like that's where I was at with it. But like, one thing, and I kind of know, I've been over to the UK a good few times, so the taxis are pretty much kind of the same as us. But one of the people that we were with, they're in the taxi and they just turned around to me and they're like, oh, man, I have the spinnies. Like, this is game over, you know, and I'm not really feeling well. And unfortunately, then, like, went and fucking got sick and all this kind of shit. But the taxi, like, got sick in the taxi, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm gonna get fined out the arse, and this is gonna be, it's gonna cost me a fortune. And your man just turned around and was just like, yeah, clean it up and then I'll just bring his back, like, that's no problem. And I was like, huh? And he was like, and he was like, yeah, like, that's no worries. And then he was like, as soon as I get it, like, it was cleaned up and all, and it was whatever. And so that was grand. And then he goes, if there's any chance that you can help me just fill up, because it was a big, huge van. He goes, if you can help me get as many people into the van, be the quicker I can get you guys home. So then I turned out into this like little taxi man rep guy going, hey, do you want to get into this taxi at all? Like 300 baht. And then people are like haggling with me. I was like, I'm not driving. I'm hammered.
Yeah.
This is your man who's driving. He told me it was 300 baht. It's going to be 10 quid. And your man's like, no, I'm not paying 10 quid. I was like, well, fuck off then. Because there's like 300 million other people here. Like, mad. But in the space of like, I don't know, probably about, say, 15, 20 minutes, your man had like, I think it was something like an 8-seater little van thing. Everyone paid like 300 baht each. So like a tenner each. And he must have done that about four or five times in the night. Like, he was making like I'd say he must have made a couple of hundred quid a night. Like, well, for the night that was in it, you know, probably gave his like his monthly salary or something, but like one and done kind of thing. But it was mad. Like,
no, that's it. And like I said, yeah, it just helps in that sense. It does help with everyone on the island, you know. And that money goes to bars. Bars goes off to other places, taxi men, you know, the money gets shared around the island with their communities and stuff. And yeah, that's, I think that was the hardest thing about being in Koh Phangan the 6 months during lockdown, is that because everything was closed. It was sad to see a lot of like the shops, the bars that we used to go to, all of these just one by one shutting down, getting boarded up, you know, holy owners shit. Putting for sale signs up. So it's starting to pick up now from what I see. But yeah, it was quite sad, you know, like not being able to do this full moon and help them out. And,
yeah.
You know, with our contacts in Thailand, all we want to do is like help them out so they continue giving a good time to our groups. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. It was quite sad, but you know, we'll get back to it for sure.
Oh, defo. Like even still, it's kind of like, I honestly think it's the calm before the storm, because there's so many people now that have never done the whole like Thailand thing, but they've been sitting in their house watching YouTube and watching all of these like the full moon parties and all of this stuff, and then intro are kind of coming in going like, you don't need to be in a big kind of group to get, because I think that is the big thing that ruins all of them kind of holidays, is you send your message into the WhatsApp group going, hey, I think I want to go to Thailand and do a bit of island hopping, anybody interested? Half the group say yeah, then half the group forget to pay their deposit, and then just, you're like, ah. Or like, so with the likes of intro, you can kind of turn around and go, my deposit's paid, and they're completely flexible with it and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to go, right, if it happens, it happens, and they can go and start the like a solo group adventure. I think that's the kind of the easiest way to put it about. Like, would you reckon that's the case?
Yeah, man. Like, it is, we get a lot of solo travelers, definitely. Like, you get the occasional couple, or you do get the occasional friends, but mainly you do get a lot of those solo people, because we kind of reach out to them more and say, you know, traveling's not scary if you do it with other people. And
yeah.
I think the easiest thing is when solo travelers meet solo travelers, it seems to gel well, and you end up getting this great group. Even when you get people who've known each other, they always include other people, but you know, it's always that sense of like, you know, you can do it alone, but there's no, you know, there's no harm in saying that someone else can come along with you after you've done the tour and, you know, being by your side and helping you out. You can break off at any time. And that's what I love about intro, is you do see a lot of these people change throughout the trips, and you do see like confidence get boosted, and, you know, you're going to hype up the next country that they're going to, and you're going to say, you know, when you go to Bali, you're going to absolutely love it. You know, I'll talk to the group leader, you know, make sure that you arrive all right and stuff like that, and they feel safe. So
class.
I think if you're a solo traveler, even if you feel a bit like you want to do it on your own and you don't want to kind of meet people, give the tour a go anyway. Give the tour a go, because it's just, it builds your confidence massively around the whole subject.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's the thing. For me doing the likes of the solo traveling at the start, all I wanted was the likes of being in a group of people, because it actually, like, yeah, you're going to go and you're trying to find yourself and it's going to be the best thing in the world or whatever. And you're kind of going, yeah. But if you don't have like an itinerary, it's all well and good if you're going to go, oh yeah, I'm going to go see the train market on a Sunday. And then you wake up and you're like, nah, I'm a bit hungry, and it's not on paper. I haven't paid a deposit towards any of these kind of excursions and stuff like that. So it does eliminate your drive to go to these places. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in a group, you don't have like the likes of your missus or whatever turning around to you going, no, we're going. And there's no, like, when you're there by yourself, you're like, I know, I'll just get another pad thai because I'm mad, you know,
and
you're
like 40p. Like, that's my expense for the day.
Like, yeah, it's just that. And that's the reason why, like, I'd love to do any of these kind of like group stuff and go from there. Do you reckon going forward now, would you be going back and starting to work over there? Or what's the plans?
Oh, man, I'd love to, you know, I'd love to do it again, because it's kind of one of those things where whenever I come back to the UK, I just always feel like, you know, every job that I get here, just, I don't feel like the way that I was as a group leader, and, you know, the way that I matured as group leader as well. And all of that has done that to me. So why wouldn't I want to go back and see what else I could do? So yeah, I'd love to do even one of the new tours, you know, like we've just opened up a New Zealand tour. I'd love to go hang out there and run a tour there, or, you know, the Japan one as well. I've always wanted to go to Japan, but imagine living there for a few months and running tours. It's just, there's so much opportunity, especially from someone who's been there for quite a while. It's an opportunity for me to go wherever I'd like to go, you know, and learn other countries and be more intelligent about the world. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I'd love that. It's all about the knowledge of, yeah, of each place and getting excited to tell other people. I always say, oh, I don't know this time. I don't know. And I always, you know, my friends always like, oh, are you going back? I'm like, ah. But in my head and in my heart, you know, I'm a group leader. That's who I am. And that's what I love doing. I love making people happy and seeing all these cool places that I've seen and being a hype man for, yeah, Bali, or being a hype man for Thailand. You know what I mean? So no, I would love to do it again. 100%.
And, when you were based in Bali, like Bali for me, like if you were to kind of scale it up with the likes of, like, I think Bali, I'm going to get slated for this, but I honestly think, like, if someone turned around to me and goes, right, you have an all exclusive pay ticket to Thailand or Bali, where are you going? I'm like, Bali, hands down.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the experience that I had in Bali was just so completely different to what I had in the 4 weeks in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And it was the easiest way for me to explain it is I went out, crazy night out, pints, 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 lads on tour. Yeah, this is unreal. Get back to the house. And all the guys were going fishing. All the men were doing like this house share thing. So I like walk up and I was blocked. Like the lads could see I was steaming. And they were all had their fishing rods and stuff. And I was like, oh man, I'd love to go fishing. And they're like, well, come on then. And I was like, I've just been out all night and day. Can I just change my t-shirt and just put on, spray something? I don't know what I'm going to spray on myself. I'm going to just spray something. And I'll be back in 2 seconds. Ran in, sprayed something, changed the t-shirt, ran back out. And the lads were gone. And all the women were left. And I was just like, I think you guys need a hand. Because like, I'm up ready to go. And she was just like, yeah, we're organizing food for the markets. Grant, happy day. So I walk in and have this like fire pit and your one's cooking the rice and she teaches me how to do like the banana leaf things, like makes the little packs, like the banana things. She's like, oh, and then you put the rice in. I was like cooking tofu on a fire. Unreal. And she was like, you've helped us so much. Thank you. And I was like, class. And then she goes, well, we're going to prepare the fruit and veg for the market. So I go, Grant. And she hands me an Excalibur-sized machete, right?
Two-handed.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, and this is how we peel the thing. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, I've never seen, I don't know what this fruit vegetable thing is. She's like, and you just go and you peel it. And I'm like, okay, I can see what you're doing here. Instantly sliced straight into my hand.
Oh.
Just like, oh, that's really not good.
Yeah.
Blood is like going everywhere. And she's just like, I think you might be still drunk. And I went, I think I might be still drunk. And she's like, just sit down. And I like sit down. And she gives me like a little bandage and she's like, do you want a cup of coffee? She's like, I have some really nice Bali coffee here, like Indonesian coffee. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love that. So she gives me the coffee and her little daughter comes outside and she sees like pale Irish man, like just there going, oh, I have to cut my hand. This is good. And she's just like, and no English, no nothing at all. And she goes off, comes out and gets like a brand newborn kitten and like hands me this kitten. And I'm sitting there with like a cup of coffee, a newborn kitten, my hands like still blood like coming out of it. And she goes, oh, that's the special, coffee. It's fermented by mongoose. And I was like, huh? And she's like, yeah, so the mongoose shits it out. And I'm like, I was like, sorry. And she goes, yeah, like the mongoose shits it out and then we roast it. And then I was like, I'm after drinking half a cup of this.
Man.
Like that was my like second day in Bali, you know. And like that's just my Bali story. And I just after that, then I love it. Have you got any kind of stories like that from working over there for so long? Because everyone there was just so nice, like.
Oh yeah, a lot of things like that. And I've had that coffee before. We have it in on a part of the tour. You go up to the waterfall, the Gitgit waterfall, and on halfway down there's this lovely couple, that own this shop, and it's, you know, it's, they've got luwaks, which are like cats, you know. And yeah, like they do, they're nocturnal. So they go out at night, they eat the coffee berries, and then they have two stomachs and they like digest the coffee and poo it out. And I love the coffee. Like, it's so strong as well. You'd have a sip and you'd be like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, when I was drinking it, I was like, oh, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is good shit. Like, it's good.
And you always tell the group, you was like, right, sit down, everyone. I'm going to give you a coffee. It's the most expensive coffee in the world, which is partially true. Yeah. It is very expensive in other countries. And they sit down, they take a sip. And they're like, oh, that's really nice. They're so fruity. I'm like, yeah, it comes from like berries. And I was like, but the berries go through the digestive system of this cat looking thing in the cage here, and you're drinking its poop. And they're like, no. And I'm like, yes. And I pick up a bowl and it's like the coffee beans in poop. And I'm like, here, this is what it starts from. Oh, and oh, man, I actually had to stop saying that, to be honest, because people were starting to be like, you made me drink shit, literal shit. Like, I'm giving you a 2-star. I was like, all right, let's calm things down now. All right, we don't have to get that extreme.
Yeah, it's not TripAdvisor here. Can't you? Yeah. Like, we're all good.
You'll be drinking that coffee every day for the next 4 days. I tell you love it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah, no, it is. It's rocket fuel, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Deal, no deal.
On the transition of cat shit coffee, we go into the food that you got today. Was there any? Was it like a combo? Was it a meal deal, multi buys, or what way does that work?
So, I got 4 dishes from the Chinese. I got one called the it's like a chef special. So it's like duck. I'll show you. I've eaten half of it already. There's like duck.
Oh yeah,
and it's covered in some sort of like, I think it's like hoisin. Is that how you pronounce it? Hoisin.
Hoisin.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, my mate calls it hoisin sauce, and I'm like, you Irish fucker, man! Like, it's hoisin, and he's like, I love that hoisin sauce, and I'm like, oh man. Yeah, like stereotypical Irish man, like, you know, it's hoisin, but yeah, like, it's just sticky sauce basically.
Yeah, it's good though. It's like got a bed of rice underneath, and it's got a slab of like, I think it's cabbage under it, and oh yeah, it's a great combo. They say it's a meal for one, but I'm convinced that if you eat this as one, then you're a machine, because it's a lot of food, you know. But I had to get some salt and pepper chips on the side, salt and pepper chicken. And a lovely hot and sour soup.
I did not know that you guys, like, in Ireland, we call them spice bags. We have like a spice bag of chips.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think they started in like Kilkenny or something, or some Irish lad was like, I'll make a Chinese there. And it was kind of like when they made a Caesar salad where they just fucked everything into a bag and went, there you go. And it's just sort of took off from there. But yeah, like, that's mad. I didn't know the UK had that. I was going to bring it over in a little salt and chili chipper like truck or something, do like a little food truck, because like, I don't know, it's amazing though, isn't it?
It's so good. Like, so it's a classic Chinese dish. Like, I don't have it enough though, that's the thing. I always forget about it, and then I'll be eating my Chinese, and then that night I'll be like, shit, this is like the 4th time in a row I forgot to get these chips now, but I'm glad I remembered them today. I'm really glad.
I didn't hear no bell.
What was your full order then?
So my full order was the duck special, the salt and pepper chicken, the salt and pepper chips, and then a hot and sour soup, which is a really, really nice. It's very spicy, actually. It destroys your gut. The morning's never good, but it tastes off the chart. It's so nice.
Well,
I don't reckon I'll be able to eat all of it, but I'll give it a good crack.
And why did you order that meal? Like, that seems like a fairly hearty meal for a lad. Like, you know, you're going to be eating that for the next couple of days, you know?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I thought there's a lot of protein in that, so I've got to get the gains in before summer, you know? I'll probably, like, it will be eaten by midnight, because I always late night snack. I know that I'm going to leave half of it. And then I'll watch South Park later in bed and just chomp on this like leftover Chinese. So already look forward to that.
So what's your plans now after eating all that food? Like, is it a case that you can go out run a marathon? Or are you going to go for a little sleepy? Or what are you thinking?
No, I'm just gonna sink a few beers tonight. Like since everything's opened again, my past couple of weeks have just been hectic. You know, I've just saved up a lot. You know, I saved up the money over lockdown, and I feel like I've spent it in the past 2 weeks just drinking and going out and stuff. But no, this weekend is just gonna be a chill one. After this, I'll probably take the dog for a walk. We live near quite a wooded area, so I'll take him for a nice stroll in the woods. Try and walk this off, and then I'll come back. Give this another crack. I'll probably play some video games, to be fair. I started playing Final Fantasy VII Remake yesterday.
Nice.
And I'm hooked already, so I'll probably be smashing that out tonight. Sure.
Good stuff, man. And you playing that? So that's done. Was that the free download with the PlayStation? Yeah, like the PS Plus thing. Yeah.
Nice. So PS Plus did that mega. I think it was literally 2 months ago or something, and. Yeah. Unbelievable, man. Because like I remember the games leading up to it and the other months were just so mediocre, just indie games. And then they did Final Fantasy VII. That's a game I've always wanted to try. So I've never completed a Final Fantasy game as well. So this one I'm like determined to try and complete the whole thing. It's long, but you know, I hope I get there.
Yeah. And like that's where I'm at now is like I'm playing like Rainbow Six or whatever, but I got the Assassin's Creed Valhalla and like, I think I played for something like 30 hours, man.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, so what do I get now? And it's like, you haven't even got to England yet. And I'm like, what? And it's not that I'm like playing shit. Like, I'm playing decent. I have like just, I'm just like, I because I have ADD and I just go side quests. And I'm like, oh, let's go down and collect a fucking marble off some prick because you need to do a magical spell or something. You're like, oh, yeah, cool. Like that's the worst thing for me. Like, I don't know. I just give me any of them kind of point and shoot games. But I got into the it was a good while the NHL, the hockey one. Have you ever played the hockey, the sport games?
I've played one hockey game on the PS2 and I remember it was incredible. I'd love to play another hockey game. Was it good? What one was it? Was it like 2019?
Yeah, it was like the latest one. It was 2020.
Oh really?
But that's the thing. Like, it actually makes you do like all these kind of tutorials and all of this stuff, and you're just kind of you're flat out in it, and you're, I don't know. It's one of them things. Like, you're either really, really, really good naturally, or you're just shite. Like,
That's shit. It. It's like FIFA, isn't it? My brother's incredible in FIFA, but I'm terrible.
And that's the thing, like. I've been playing video games for Jesus, like Sega, Nintendo, all this kind of stuff. My mate, like, no joke, rolled like the world's biggest spliff and was smoking it while he was playing FIFA. I had like the FIFA All-Stars and he had like Huddersfield or something. And like, it was something like he was still on 13-2 or something. He was annihilating me and he was baked. He was just
That's
like,
it. It's just pure focus, isn't it? They look dead in the face, but you're actually like full in with the game, you know. It's like you've plugged a wire into your PlayStation when you do that, you know.
I know,
everything else around you doesn't matter. To win that match.
defo. And so that's kind of a smooth transition into one thing that I really kind of wanted to talk to you about, because I was listening to it on your podcast. Was you being able to bring your Switch on holidays with you, and how does that work? Like, it just baffles me. If I smashed my phone into a million pieces, let alone bringing a Switch over, you know?
It was one of those things where I didn't want to take it everywhere with me, but you know, I had the case for it. When I was in the hotel room alone, I'd just crack out a couple of hours on my Switch. Honestly, I've got to say, if you go traveling a lot, even if you go like on your commute to work and it's quite long, buy a Nintendo Switch, because it is the best portable console I've ever played. It's crazy, like when you first get it, you know, you see the black screen and you think, oh, you know, it's going to be like Nintendo DS graphics but just a bit better, and you're like, you know, this is the real deal. I'm playing Crash Team Racing remastered in my hands. This is incredible. And even stuff like Astral Chain, which is like this crazy Nintendo exclusive anime game based on like cops in the future with like monsters attached to their arms, but you're just playing that on your hands and you're like, this is such an in-depth game to play anywhere, you know? I honestly, I love my Switch. I got the Switch Lite, so it doesn't attach to the TV, But oh, it's so good. It fits really well in your pocket as well.
No way.
Surprisingly, yeah. You can fit in pocket. Shit.
And with that then, does that connect to like Netflix and stuff? Or what way is it?
I know you can get YouTube on it. I've got YouTube on my one. I don't think it has Netflix integration yet.
Oh, okay.
But I know, yeah, there's definitely YouTube. You can definitely like save clips as well. So if you have like video clips that you want to save, just like you do on the PS4, you press a share button and you've got a video clip on your Switch of you playing that game. And
no way.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. And the games are, you know, the games are quite expensive that come with the Switch, but I would say that, you know, 99% of the time they are worth it. They're great games. You know, a lot of like the Zelda and Mario games. Every Mario game is like stellar. You know, Luigi's Mansion, all that. You know,
I think the one thing that kind of popped up and it kind of brought all of us back together was the Pokemon Go. And it was a very kind of strange thing. I don't think my dog was walked as much in her entire life. Like, I was like, Pokemon Go, lab. Come on. And the team's like, going, oh, come on, mate. Like, how do you not have diabetes anymore? Like, this is ridiculous. And I was like, come on, we're walking out. I saw a Gyarados down the back of the thing. And I'm like, yeah. And like, it's just, it was mad. Did you play that? Like, because that seems to be a big kind of travel game.
I actually played it for a few months when we were in lockdown in Thailand. So we were on Koh Phangan and we were going around Koh Phangan on mopeds searching for these Pokemon.
Class, isn't it?
That was sick. I was like, it was really, you know, it's been out a while, kind of at that point. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was like collecting all these wicked Pokemon, even going out on a paddleboard to get a water Pokemon and keeping your phone in a sandwich bag just so you could get that Pokemon. You're like, no, I'll get out, I will get it. That was amazing. Sketchy, but man, that was that is a great game, phone game, and it's still out, isn't it?
And that's the thing is you always get these kind of your mates that are turn around and you're like, oh, I deleted that ages ago, and they go, oh yeah, so did I, and then you're like, hold on a minute, you're like level 70 now. How did that come out? You're like, I haven't played in ages. And you're like, you've definitely still been playing this every day. You're like 32, man. Like, what are you doing with your life and all? And he's like, oh, no, I haven't been playing at all. What are you talking about? But like, that's definitely a thing.
We used to have a group leader who apparently she was obsessed with it. She was a Japan leader as well. So I could imagine the Pokemon you'd get there would be like glitter Pokemon, you know, or the sparkly ones, you know. But yeah, I was like, how mad would that be playing Pokemon Go in Japan? It's like an ultimate gamer's dream, you know, just to be in that position.
Amazing. Yeah. And like, would that be like, you know, in regards to kind of like the work and stuff like that, do you reckon that would ever be a thing that when you're in Japan, you kind of go, I need to play Pokemon there. Like, do you want to go to such and such? Because like that's a huge kind of aspect of Japan is the anime kind of Pokemon side of things and stuff. Yeah. Like, do you reckon that would ever be like a specific feature on the tours?
I don't think it would be. You do actually go to a street or you go to an area in Japan that is based around like anime and all of this manga stuff. And it's like the gaming capital. And that part for me in particular in the tour looks amazing.
Oh my
I'd
God.
Love to do it.
Sorry,
got the food. That's all right.
I just have to let her out. She turns around and she's just like, you're extremely busy right now and you can't tell me to fuck off. So I'm just going to sit here. And I thought I got away with it because I gave her like a chew bone, but she must have inhaled it. So,
yeah, it's gone straight through her. It's probably where she's going now.
Sorry about that, man. No, I didn't mean to.
All good. I like it. It's a cute dog. It's pure white as well. It's like a wolf from Game of Thrones, is it?
Yeah. No, it's her name is Opie. I got her like 7 years ago, and she's fully vaccinated and ready to go. Like the plan is kind of like, after all of this lockdown stuff, is like maybe bring her over to Thailand or do something like that and do the teaching English as a foreign language kind of thing, and to do that, and then bring the dog over. Like, but like the ticket to bring the dog over is €1,500, and the ticket for me to fly over right now, if I was to book it right now, is 350 quid. So I know there's a global pandemic.
See ya.
So that's where I'm at with it. So I like she's a good dog, but she's just an absolute messer. And she knows she'll get away with a bloody murder. As soon as she sees the mic come out, she's just like, I am getting fed. I'm like eating a bit of food and I'm like, shut up. And then it's just like, nah. You haven't fed me enough. I'm going to start barking now. And I'm like, oh, mate. But yeah, the joys. But you have a dog in your place, don't you? Yeah,
I do. Oh, my chair's just gone down. I do. Yeah, I have a little. It's like a cross Shih Tzu Bichon Frise.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny. His name's Barney. And he just, he's got like cross eyes. He's got like a bent ear. His feet like stick outward. He's just a mess of a dog, but... He's so cute. We love him. He kind of just sums up our family. He's pretty nutty, really.
Yeah,
he's awesome little dog he is. He's funny.
Good stuff.
He's got little man syndrome for sure. Like, he'll bark at any other dog that's huge, you know?
Yeah,
we're like, we got to stand in the middle of this, you know, me and my brother. So we're like, oh, shit.
You're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's a bloody nightmare, man. Tell me about it. And is that a thing, like, would you ever want to, like, fully kind of move? Because where I'm at now is that I'm kind of like, have a decent enough job here in Ireland. And I'm turning around, I'm telling my family, I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking of moving over to like Thailand. And they're like, oh, for like a holiday. And I'm like, no, for like ever.
For
and they're like, because I work basically for the equivalent of the NHS in Ireland.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like, you have a good pensionable job and you want to go live on a beach in Thailand. And I'm like, yeah, actually, I think that might be a good idea. And is that something that you've ever wanted to do?
Oh, man, it's always on my mind, you know, like constantly thinking, what country will I, you know, end up in? Because like I say, every time I come back here, I like it for a split second. I'm like, oh yeah, it's nice to have a bit of normality and a, you know, a routine and everything. But then the other part of me is like, you know, I don't want to be like a 9-to-5 slave, like working a dead end job and just getting the train home miserable every night. Like, I want to be that person I was when I was a group leader. But I think if I got a really nice job and I got like a transfer to like Australia or, you know, Japan or, you know, Asia, anything like that, I would definitely do that. I'd definitely live out there. It's one thing is going there, but living there and learning about the how differently people act in different countries is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
No, like that is the thing. And I think that is like, it's one of the big kind of aspects is that like it's different like when you're living in a country because you're kind of going like, oh no, I live here now. And then because as soon as like, I remember even when I flew back from, Bali or whatever, and I got into Dublin airport and after doing whatever it was like 18-hour flight or something, or like the 18 hours trying to get home basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I walked into Dublin airport. And even after doing the 18 hours, I just went, if someone offered me a ticket back right now and like $5,000, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do it. I'd literally just like turn around and walk straight back to the terminal.
Oh, really?
I'd probably walk straight to the bar. I'd be like, right, just give me an Irish pint of Guinness first. All right, that top me up now for another couple of months. See yous later kind of thing. But like it's weird. Like when you get back, you do get the blues, you know, you're just kind of sitting here going like everyone kind of says like the Ibiza blues or all this kind of stuff. You're kind of going, yeah. But is that the same thing for a rep though? Like, or a group leader?
Yeah, man. Like, I think the thing is you go from essentially being someone that's looked up to for months on end, maybe years on end. And suddenly you come back to a country where, I'm not saying like my friends have done this or anything, but you know, no one particularly is incredibly interested in what you want to share. And that's a good thing about coming on this podcast, because this is like the first time in, you know, a long time that I've, you know, someone's asked me about traveling and I've been like, oh, I've got to actually think about these questions now because I don't get this often. But you know, you say you're a group leader and people are like, that's really cool. But when you think, you probably just think I go out drinking and, you know, like IB for reps, do that sort of thing. Yeah. But you want to tell them a whole story, but then you don't want to be like one of those people like, I found myself and I know 6 languages and I'm, you know, the tits at everything. Yeah. So that
no, mate, you sat in a fucking corner playing Wonderwall for 6 months. Like, come on, like, calm down, man. Yeah. Like, nah, it's chalk and cheese. Like, it's mad. It.
Like, you just don't want to. You don't want to give off that impression that you're trying to boast about your life. Like, you've done cool things, and you wanted to. Oh, my voice is breaking now. See, I'm just going through puberty here. You do all these cool things, and you think that no one wants to hear. I'm sure people would like to hear, but you don't want to push yourself out to say it, you know. And that's what I get. I get major FOMO that when I come back here, people are doing the job that I did, and people are being looked up to like I was, and I'm not getting that. And it sounds selfish, but oh, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling, especially when you were as shy as I was. Like, oh, what a feeling it is.
Like, and that's the thing, though. It's mad kind of like talking to you now and you saying that, like, oh no, you were really shy and stuff like that. Like, just the thing, me and you have just met each other and like we're sitting here and we probably chatting like that. We've been mates for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
We've just have so much in common, you know, like in regards to games and stuff like that.
But
that's the thing, like that's what traveling does for you. And like, it does make or break people. There are people that, that kind of, like, fly into Australia and touch down and go, no. And they, like, I've heard so many people that just get so unbelievably overwhelmed by doing something mad and drastic, by going to Australia and just leaving, like, hopping on the plane and just going, no, I'm on the opposite side of the world, crazy anxiety, all of this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah. I've had people on my tour that's, you know, they've gone to the welcome dinner and then the next morning you're about to go out to the temples and they're like, I really don't want to be here. You know, I want to go home. And, you know, I always think like, I am going to convince this person because I know how good, not only you're going to feel, but how I'm going to feel that I made you love it, you know, but there has been people where they're like reluctant. They're like, no, I have to go home. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just traveling's built for certain people. And it's also built for people that are willing to turn into that person. So, it's quite weird seeing that when you've done it for so long and you're like, you really want to leave? Like, you actually, on the second day of your tour, you want to leave. And they're like, I just want to go. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, but do it again in your life at some point. That's all I can say. Because you will like it.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
That's it.
It's mad how people just have like this kind of like home and beacon where they could just, they get put out of their comfort zone so quickly. And I think that's one of the best things with the likes of like Intro and the likes of yourself is that like when you're doing these group tours or whatever, it is kind of like a big hug in one sense where you, when you do feel overwhelmed or whatever.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing this solo stuff, it's so easy for you to just go, I don't like that. I'm not doing it. And I'm going to sit in, I'm going to just sit in my little hostel in my little cubicle. And that's the thing. It's just like, those are the kind of experiences where you're just kind of like, this is insane, you know, like it's mad.
It's like a life of no rules. You go into all these countries, but you know, there's laws and everything, but you feel, you know, it's like your generation just, you know, living life. It's crazy. It's unreal. And the people you meet and how open people are that you do meet. Like when you go to a hostel, for example, and you go downstairs, if you're sitting on your own, give it 10 minutes and someone will come and sit next to you and you'll be friends with them for the rest of the night. You know, it's unbelievable how nice people are when you kind of think, but when you sit, you know, when you're in Tesco's and you think, oh God, people are animals. You like see people just before like the big Christmas rush, but when you're traveling, you're like, you know, they're kind animals at least, you know, people do have a heart and they just need to be out of that comfort zone to do that. It's just a very pushback reluctant thing that everyone's programmed to have.
Big time, man, big time. So we're going to kind of get onto a section. I think this is a section that kind of hits home for you. It's called Hometown Heroes. So we probably might flip this over a bit where you kind of, you've talked about a lot of your local bands and stuff like that like your mates with or that you've been listening to and stuff like that. So what are the bands that you're listening to now at the moment?
Oh, so at the minute, there's a few local, in terms of like bands, actually like big, huge bands and stuff like that, like Royal Blood's new album is sublime. And Royal Blood have always been like up and down for me. Like the first album I was obsessed with. The second album, it took me a while. But this new one is oh, I can't stop listening to it, man. Every day I'm just like, yep.
I'm exactly the same. Like when I listen, like the initial Royal Blood album, and you're like, oh no, he's playing bass. It sounds like a guitar. The drummer is absolutely unreal.
Yeah.
They can replicate the songs like note for note live. And you're kind of going, what? And then you see them live and you're like, holy shit. Like,
it's,
what? Like,
it's like, so easy for them as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's so easy. It's, yeah, I noticed the bass in the background, actually. Yeah. That's rad. So, I
looked at your man's setup and I was just like, this is mental, you know,
yeah.
Like, with all of the shit that he has. And then all that. And then you're throwing in like really technical drums and stuff like that with it. And the songs play really, really good.
Yeah. But,
so that was the first album. And then the second album came in and you were kind of listening to it, but it didn't really hit home as well as it should. And you're kind of like, oh no, it was okay. Like, but then did you see them live on the second album?
I'm just plugging my charger in.
No worries, mate. No worries. So
I was trying to do it subtly and I was like, no, I have to do it. So I'm like 4%. so I actually saw them at Reading Festival in 2019, the wow. last Reading Festival that was on.
Yeah.
I only caught the last of their set. But I just think with Royal Blood, it's crazy to think that there are only two people in that band. And when you listen to them, even when you see them live and you're like, right, where's the secret guitarist? Come on, bring him out. Where is he? Yeah. No, man, it's just the front man ripping a bass. Like he's Slipknot. Do you know what I mean? He's all members of Slipknot on one bass guitar. but like, yeah, I love that album. And I think that they've done such a good job. And my friend Cameron, who lives quite close to here, he interviewed them. And when I said, oh, I like the album, my story, he sent me a link and he was like, you know, here's two of their unreleased songs from, from their album. I was like, why aren't these songs on the album? I'm like, these are also incredible. So it's just my week has just been a big rush of Royal Blood. That's it. That's all I could say, really. And I listen to like a lot of different music, but at the minute I'm so obsessed with them. And the new Gojira album as well. If you've heard that.
Oh shit! Yeah, the new. That's see your man there at the back. His name.
Yeah.
See this chap. He's in a band called Dead Label, and they're an Irish four piece band, and their bread and butter is Gojira.
So oh, really?
If you want hometown heroes, they used to be a three piece band, and they got Mick in, and then Mick, this lad, right? He went and he got a photo made up for his like sister or his brother-in-law or something, and he gave it to him for Christmas. But they made a wrong or something. It's pixelated, so he just posted it to me, and I was just like, I'm sticking that on my wall. I don't care. So if you're into Gojira, check out a band called Dead Label.
Dead Label, I will.
They've actually toured. They've toured with Gojira. They toured with Machine Head. They've opened up for Fear Factory, and they're pretty good band, but still to this day, unsigned, have played like Download, have played Bloodstock, have played super heavy festivals.
And you said they're unsigned, and they played all that.
Yeah. Unsigned, everything is all like their shit, but they're proper, like when you listen to them, you're like, you're definitely influenced by Gojira. It's Gojira and Metallica, and then they just made up all their own shit. So definitely check them out, man. And is there any other kind of, like, you know, when you're on holidays, I think I was in Koh Samui, and I went into this reggae bar, and there was this band playing, full reggae set, flawless, like note for note,
yeah, man,
word for word. All Thai guys, and when you're a musician or whatever, I penguined up to him with however many mojitos in me, and I'm like, hey man, that was fucking deadly.
Yeah,
and
they're
like, your man, he couldn't speak English. And I was like, you just sang like 60 Bob Marley songs back to back, word for word. And he's just like, don't know what you're talking about. So have you ever had that experience on holidays or when you've been working?
Yeah, mate. We used to take groups to this bar in Gili T called Summer. Exact same thing. They're all Indonesian. incredible band, and the front man looks like a spitting image of Bob Marley. Like, you sit, you walk in there, if you're drunk already, and you walk in there and you're like, where am I? What have I, like, have I just gone back in time? And they sing songs like word for word and stuff. And I've got a video of me somewhere online where I got so hammered that I talked to them mid show and was like, can I come and play? And they're like, fuck yeah. So I went up and played with them, played Nirvana.
Oh, amazing.
In front of my group as well. Like, my group were there and my brother was there. And they were just like, what? They were like, we didn't know you could play drums. I was like, I can't. I'm just really drunk. just like made it up that I'd never played drums in my life and just nailed that somehow. But yeah, the local bands, I've got to say, in Thailand, in Bali, especially reggae bands, are unreal. I love them, and they always play Welcome to Jam Rock as well,
yeah,
by Damian Marley, and nail that when they have like the fills in there and like, you know, the bass guitar and the drums just go off. It's so good.
Yeah, I love it. It's mad. Like, and that's the thing, is that like the musicianship and all over there, it's just like, when you consider, when you go into a pub in the likes of like the UK or Ireland or whatever, and you're kind of going, all right, yeah, and here's Robbie Williams, Angels, and you're like, mother of Jesus. Well, all right, yeah, cool. And then it's like Wonderwall and all of this kind of stuff. And it's like AC/DC, Back in Black, Deadly. And then these guys are like, I went to, there was a place in Bangkok, and it was kind of like a heavy metal bar, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go, covered in tattoos, big hairy beard, I'm gonna go to the heavy metal bar in Bangkok. And it was like a Wednesday night, and it said like live music and shit. And I went in, and like I turned around to this band, and it was the same thing. And then they were like a pay by request, like a request band, and they played what did they play? They were playing a lot of punk stuff. They were playing like Green Day, and then they went from Green Day to Nirvana, and then Nirvana to whatever. And then they were like, does anybody want us to play on? And I went for shits and giggles, like, play Bring Me the Horizon. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they just like, Bring Me the Horizon. Yeah, like just like Bring Me the Horizon. And then I was like,
Kill what song did they play? Pray for Plagues.
They played, what was the name of it? It was on the album with The Umbrella.
Throne or
it was the video that actually got banned. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's kind of like a Call of Duty thing where like the first scene is like your man gets a shotgun and he blows the dog's head off with a shotgun.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like it's proper dodge. I can't remember the name, but like they were like, yeah, no, we know Bring Me the Horizon. And I was like, okay. And then they played that, and then they played like Killswitch Engage, and then they played like Killswitch Engage, and then I was like, okay, it was like My Curse by Killswitch Engage.
I was gonna say, was it My Curse?
Yeah,
did they nail the guitar bit at the beginning?
Yeah, like the thing was flawless. And then they went in, and then I was like, do you play any punk stuff? And they were like, oh yeah, cool. And I was like, any No Doubt? And your man was just like, yeah, No Doubt, no problem. Bass player shredding. And I was just like, what, like playing all this No Doubt shit. And then
did they have a Thai Gwen Stefani or something?
No, it was the same guy. It was just this lad, and he was just singing, like, you could literally, there was people there. And then it got to a stage where when you're listening to your encyclopedia of like random metal bands are coming out, and you're like, what about this one? And like they were playing like, they played like a load of Green Day, a load of like, it just got to, they play like NoFX, Rancid, the Blink-182, whatever. But then they went into like really, really heavy stuff. I can't remember. I know if I see your man's face, I'll know exactly who it was. You know the band that cover Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson?
Day to Remember.
Day to Remember.
Yeah.
Day to Remember. They like nailed a Day to Remember.
Really?
And I was just kind of sitting there going like, how is this even real? Like, but a Day to Remember, and then that was it. Do you know actually what happened? This huge, big, giant American guy came in, and same thing. And he was like, "Hey, man, you never played. Like, you asked for like Rape Me by Nirvana," and the band were like, "You're like, it's a bit of a buzzkill, that song. Yeah. You know? Like, he's like, yeah, man, you should play it. You should play it. And then they're like, all right, yeah, fuck it, we'll play it. They played it. And then he accused the barman of like dipping his money. He was like, I gave you 500 baht. And then it just turned into this like brawl thing. I was like, ah.
Yes. Nah.
But, like, absolute buzzkill. See you later. Hop on a taxi and just went off. And like that's the thing with these places. Like when you're on holidays, you just open up your phone, you get a taxi for like 2 or 3 quid.
That's it, yeah.
You just go to the opposite side of the fucking island, or you go to the opposite side.
They have this thing in Bali called it's like Uber, it's called Gojek. Yeah. And you could all so like the traffic in Bali, especially like Kuta area, is awful.
Yeah.
And you can order Gojek bikes. Yeah. And it's like Uber, but they're just swerving in and out of traffic on these motorbikes. And you get to where you want to be in like seconds.
Yeah.
Like 2 quid a ride. But yeah, it's like that as well, where you're just like, oh, I'm going to go, I'm just order a Gojek, jump on the back of someone's bike drunk and just like get rid home like perfectly. Fly to
the moon. So the next question is tips and tricks that you've acquired over the years. So for me, it's the likes of the use of Gojek, Grab, like all these kind of these apps that are kind of in there that people don't really know about when you're going to like Thailand and Indonesia and stuff. Has there ever been a case where you've been to say like Thailand and then you've gone, oh, this will work really, really well, and then you brought it to Indonesia, like a tip or a trick, and you brought it to Indonesia and it just doesn't work? Has that ever happened? Has there ever been a case?
I mean, I've been devastated that you can go to Thailand and not get Gojek there. I thought that was a tip and trick that I lost. I don't know about tips and tricks. Like, in terms of like countries, no, with my job and stuff, I learned stuff as part of a group leader and then bring it over to the next country for those group leaders to learn. And that seemed to work. But I don't think, no, I've learned any like tips and tricks from traveling. Actually, researching the place you're going to travel to, that is a big thing that I always say. Like when I started and I'd be like, I'm going to this place, and then trying to tell a group about a place that you don't read into, or trying to even just go to that place and be interested before even knowing what goes on there is difficult, you know? So like a tip I would say for when you're traveling is, in every country, always research the place you go into. Even if you want to keep it a surprise, at least know what's been going on there, so you can deeply involve yourself with the history, rather than being clueless and, you know, not preparing for what to do. You know, learn what times to go, learn like, don't be a part of the big crowd, you know, go at sunrise, go at sunset, go at the weirdest times of the day. That's what I always say. Always.
Like that is, I always call this moment is the we're not worthy moment with like Wayne's World. Is like, you know, it's like, we're not worthy.
I love
like,
that.
Sweet. People don't understand is that, and I kind of talked to Carl about this previously, is that when you have an excursion booked, the best party and night, like the best night of your life, will happen the night before, and you will wake up and you're going to look at your watch and it's going to be like 12 o'clock. And if you're going to do an excursion, you're pretty much fucked, like, because there's going to be millions of people there. You're going to be queuing for hours and doing all that stuff. So if you kind of like that, that's kind of my tips or tricks, is that like, if you're going to be doing an excursion, don't go out on a mad fucking heavy night.
Yeah, like especially if it's scuba diving. Oh my God. That. I've been scuba diving hungover. I'm telling you, throwing up in one of those breathing apparatus is not fun. No. Not fun.
Yeah, and especially when you're doing it over there and all the fish come in.
You're like, exotic fish, but I don't care because I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm 10 feet underwater, so I can't. Do you know what I mean?
That happened to us. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, when we were in Bali, one of my mates, Hen, she was just like, I have it all booked out for you. Yeah, there's a guy going to collect you. He's gonna bring you to like the fucking rice fields. He's gonna bring you to the swing. You're gonna get your Instagram is gonna blow a load with what's gonna happen. And I'm like, yes, this is gonna be great. The only thing is, it was just. I was just so unbelievably hungover during all of this thing. And your man was like, oh, do you want to go to Coffee Plantation? No. And he was just like, he was just like, but you've paid to go to the coffee plantation. I was like, I don't give a fuck about your coffee plantation, mate. Like, it's just, this isn't happening. Like, I was like, well, what's the next thing? So we did like the rice fields and the swing and that. And then we went to the monkey forest. And yes. Like, that was pretty cool. And then your man was just kind of like, oh, where do you want to go next and all? And like, I just turned around to my mate and I was just like, do you just want to go home? Because I'm wrecked. Like, and that's the thing, like when you're in Bali, is that you're constantly in traffic, especially when you're in a big car. Oh,
yeah.
You're in traffic. You're sitting there and you're just like, oh man. And it's hungover Bali traffic. Nah, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, mate.
That's it. And you just, once you get into that car, you don't want to get out because the air conditioning is just too good. You know, you're like, if I get out of this car, I'm probably going to throw up. So I might as well just keep driving. Go wherever until I get this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's see. And then is there any sort of major, say, like do's and don'ts when it comes to looking for new food in these places? You know, because like it's all well and good when you see like a 30p, like, meat on a stick kind of thing and it turns out, oh, it's rat or pigeon or something, you're like, well, probably shouldn't have went with that. So
yeah,
have you ever had any of them kind of things?
Yeah, man. Something that I was always taught from the beginning and that I always have to say to groups, like when we're going out, because you know, you get a lot of free time in our tours as well. Like if you do want to do your own thing, we do give you time to do that after like the day or something. And I always say, like, if you're going to go look for food, always go to the places that, if you want something authentic, go to the places that the Thai people are at. Don't go to somewhere that's empty, like not even tourists are there, not even Thai people there. Because the odds are the people that ate there the night before are all in bed now, sick with a bug, you know? So your best thing to do is if you do see a stand with cheap, cheap food and you're like, oh, I don't know about it, but there's hundreds of Thai people eating there, you have just got yourself a bargain. That is a great, great plate of food for 20p, you know? Yeah. They always, always go to the places that the Thai people are going to. And also, don't be afraid to ask. Like, if you go, don't ask the people at the stalls because they will always lie and be like, no, this place is the best. Go to a 7-Eleven and go, oh, do you know where the best place to get fried rice is? Yeah. And they'll do the cheeky, ooh, like, they'll get shy and everything. But then they'll be like, that place is banging down the road. You want to go there? So, don't be afraid to ask non-market stall people, and also go where the crowd is. Go with the flow, quite literally.
Happy days, man. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, man.
And so the next question, this is a big question, is what is, I don't know, your favorite sort of go-to intoxicated or food holiday story? Has there ever been a case where you're up the side of Mushy Mountain and you're after eating two slices of pizza that has gone down far too well, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, fuck.
What do you mean? Like, in terms of, like, you've eaten something, you feel a bit dodgy, or?
No, as in, like, you've gone on a crazy session and you're just kind of like, uh-oh, this is kind of a bit mental. Has there ever been a time where, especially when you're a part of a group, where you're like, Dave from Glasgow has just jumped off a fucking 20-foot cliff and survived it or something. Has there ever been any of that kind of thing? Or are you even allowed to talk about that as a group rep? Like,
yeah, I mean, thankfully on my groups, I'd never experienced anything too bad, you know. Like, there was one time when we went snorkeling and someone was climbing up a ladder to get back on the boat, and she kind of misfooted and hit her leg. And when she came up, she was like, oh, my leg really hurts. We looked down, there was like a bit of a dent in her shin. And we were like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to deal with dents inside human bodies. So I was like, okay, we'll just get some ice. She was really cool about it because she was a nurse. She was like, I know it's not broken because it's moving. I was like, thank God for that. So I'm panicking. But no, I just grabbed some ice for her and it seemed to like just go back to normal. But I've usually on nights out, I have this instinct where if I'm with a group, I could get hammered and I could enjoy myself with a group. But when something goes like tits up, I have to, let you know, I click my fingers and I'm normal again. I'm fine.
Yeah.
So I've had no like real, real serious instances. You know, if you ask any of, you know, other group leaders, there could be another story there. But for me, I think you always just get people who really want to swim in the sea when they're drunk. Like, that is one. I don't know what it is about the sea. When I'm drunk, I'm terrified of the sea. Yeah, I look at it, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere near that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people really and want to do like all the dangerous stuff, and you're like, oh, great, like this is interfering with my great night, and you know, trying to be a group leader and stuff like that. And but yeah, no, I haven't had anything where it's been really, really, really bad, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes in Bali, actually, there's been a time where we've been standing there having a drink at a bar, and there was an earthquake, and everyone stopped for like 5 seconds, looked at each other, and I just went. All right, so I'm going to buy everyone a shot. Don't worry about paying for it. And I was just like, let's just try and get their minds off what just happened. But yeah, no, apart from that, nothing too bad, thankfully.
Oh, cool, man. No, that's good. That's not too bad. Yeah, like my kind of intoxicated thing was the Bali story where I just like sliced me out of it. It was like, wow.
That is a hell of a story, to be fair.
And you know what? We went to, what was the name of the place? In Bali after that. Finn's in,
oh, the beach club.
The beach club.
I know. Finn's, yeah.
Yeah, we went there and there was like, it was class. And we all paid, it was something like, it was pretty expensive. Like it was like 80 quid, but it was 80 euro like a head. But other than that, then like year one, we had like table service and they came down and they were like, Bintang. And I'm like, yes, please. And they're like, Bintang, 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 Bintang. I was like, all right. And then I was like, here, I'm going to order like a nachos, like a plate of nachos. And I think I have a picture of it. They came out and it was about this size. Big, huge, giant platter for everybody. Like, and like that's the thing, like with the food and that in Bali is that like, it's really, really good. And I don't know if you have it over in the UK. Do you have Vit Hits in the UK? Do you ever see them? It's like a drink.
Yeah, it sounds like a soda pop kind of.
Yeah, it's like a vitamin drink tea. It's like a Vit tea thing. But it's the only time I've ever seen dragon fruit on anything. Yeah. And I'm like drinking it and I'm like, oh, a bit of rum with this now would be unreal. I'm like, I stick a bit of rum in it. And when I was in Bali, they were like freshly squeezed dragon fruit. And I was like,
can you put rum with it?
Yeah, I was like, can you mix rum with this? And they were like, yeah, grand. And they mixed it. And I don't know what happens with dragon fruit or rum or whatever, but the rum stayed on the top. It was like, and your man was just like, it was like the waiter guy was just like, oh, I want to see you drink this because this is not going down. I was like, oh, man.
One of those ones where you had to like scoop the top off with a spoon. And
oh, it was disgusting. It was like doing that and all. It was just absolute nightmare.
Oh, but, Christ.
Yeah, full times. But you see, that's the thing with traveling is that like you can turn around to your mates now and go, yeah, dragon fruit and rum does not mix together.
And you're like, okay. You know? And then you could tell them the story and they're like, oh, okay.
You're like, oh, another travel story, dickhead.
Yeah. Oh, someone's found themselves with their dragon fruit. You'd be like, right, brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, it's but that's the thing. Like my mates have an ongoing joke. They're like, so how long have you lived in Thailand, Kev? And I'm like, oh no, I was just there for 4 weeks. And they're like, well, you'd swear you lived there for years. And I'm like, thanks, you know, like that's,
yeah, I will live there, you'll be laughing.
And that's the thing, like there's like you do have this drive to just get over there and to get back into work and to get back into these groups, because like I honestly think it's going to be like there's going to be a phoenix part of this, because there's so many people that have never traveled before, and because they haven't in the last 2 years and they've saved a shit ton of cash,
oh yeah,
they're just going to be like, yeah, cool. And they're just going to throw fucking money at the situation. And like, that's going to be the crack.
But yeah. I mean, people are gagging for it. I mean, this is why we brought out these few tours in lockdown, because we want something for people to look forward to. Like our tours have usually branched out to just a few countries like Bali, Vietnam, you know, Thailand. But the fact that we added Philippines in there, the fact that we added New Zealand, like these are huge places that are just gonna, people really want to go to, especially when you see like stuff in the news about New Zealand and it being such an incredible place. Everyone's gonna want to go there.
Yeah,
travel is not getting smaller. It's not been defeated by COVID.
No.
It's gonna get bigger, but we just need to find that right time to get back into it, because if we go too early, it's just gonna kick things off again. It's gonna be a big endless cycle. So yeah. I think it's still got time to go, but when it returns, oh my God, no one's going to be living in their own home. Everyone's going to be in different countries, you know?
No, that's the thing. Like, and in Ireland now at the moment, there's actually a housing crisis. So I've been sitting here and I've been comparing houses and stuff like that. So there's what you can get right in this in the middle of Dublin is like, say, a studio apartment, kind of like what we have here. There's my bed. There's my telly. There's my kitchen. Hey, what's the crack? In Thailand, it's like €150 a month. And if I was to move this into Dublin, it'd be like €1,800. Yeah, just, it's like wow. 1800 quid. And there's a new huge thing that's up there happening where like all of these investment bankers and investment companies have just went in and like any new housing estates or anything like that, they've just bought them all out because they're getting like $2,000 per house per month. So it's just like these huge big investment deals. So that's why I'm just kind of like have you ever looked at like the price of accommodation and stuff like that in Bali and all, and you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, this is mental.
It's really weird because I was talking about this to my brother actually earlier on. Sorry, I'm eating a chicken ball at the minute.
Whatever you do, just don't choke and we're grand. I'd be like, a guest dies on the Takeaway Man podcast. It's like, oh,
I'll try and get you all the views I can. the thing about Bali is when you're there with a few mates and you have £100 for the week, you can live like millionaires. The villas that I've stayed in for nothing, you know, like dead pennies for like literally 25 quid a night are like full-on villas with pools, stuff like that. And I'm sitting here trying to save up for a house in the UK and I'm like, I will never be able to save up for a house. It's just impossible. You know, we're not all millionaires. How the hell is anyone going to be built, you know, living in houses in 10 years' time when they just keep going up and up and up and up?
Yeah.
You know? So
I don't know. It is. It's absolutely insane, man. And like, that's the thing. I think that's what's kind of pushing the likes of us and our generation is like, there you go. You can do this, you know, and you can just go over. And with the likes of the work that you're doing, you know, it's a case that you're like, okay. Like with work permits and stuff like that, with the company and stuff. Yeah, I know there's like an evil death play going around, but anything after that, then you're kind of flying, you know?
That's it, man. That's it. And you see a lot of people these days as well, even like you see on TikTok, a lot of people like living out of vans and traveling. Like, people aren't going to settle, you know, if it's too expensive when you can travel and see beautiful parts of the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people, you can do it for years of your life. You could do it until you die.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people. When I lived there for 6 months, like, you see these people who were... I met this guy, actually, in a reggae bar. He said he was, like, a big mafia guy. And like, I wouldn't say mafia guy, you know.
He was
drunk, so I don't know how much of it I believe. But he said he was pretty big when he lived back here in Essex. And now he's, like, a full-on hippie in Koh Phangan, loving life. Like, he was like, yeah, my name's Sun and Moon now. It used to be Dave. I'm like...
All right, Dave, how you doing?
Sweet.
Meet you down spoons, yeah? First round of Jaegers are on you, boy.
Imagine that. He goes back and he's like, Sun and Moon, what do you want? Guinness?
Yeah. It's like,
who's this guy?
That's only when I'm over there. Like,
yeah. You still got the elephant pants on, though. They're comfy.
The magical elephant pants. So we talked about your full order. So I think you didn't get it delivered though. You went and collected it, did you? Or
I did. I saved them a journey. I had to go get the old punk IPA anyway. So I was I might as well go pick it up.
Cool.
And it'll be quicker anyway. So yeah.
Good stuff. Would you like, is this your local place? Would you order there again or what way is it working?
100%. It's the closest Chinese to me that's the nicest.
Yeah.
For now, you know, they've obviously gone for a bit in the past, so we'll see. But no, I'm definitely eating there again, 100%. I love Gardenia. Very good place.
What do you want to promote? So you have kind of like your podcast and intro and all that kind of stuff, but I'll leave all of that to you.
We've been talking about intro this time, so it's only fair that I kind of talk about them as well and just say, like, if you do want to do any tours, if you're a solo traveler, or if you just want to go experience a cool place for 2 weeks at least, definitely hit up Intro. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased, you know, I've been on other tours before and stuff like that, but you know, there's a lot of us group leaders who put a lot of care into travel and a lot of care into looking after the people. And the countries that we're just opening up are so exciting. You know, the stuff that we're, you know, putting out now is next level stuff. And I'm so excited to get people back on tours again and showing them Thailand and Bali in its full form again, you know, bringing all the business to these local people that we know. And yeah, like, if you want an authentic experience, if you want a bit of a mixture of everything, Intro Travel, man, like 100%, like that travel company is just the best for sure.
Oh, big time. Sure. Yeah, no, it's like, and even for me, like, and that's the reason why this whole podcast kind of came about is that I was following these guys, but they have like, it's something like 10,000 five-star reviews or something. Like they're you can't pay for that many fucking five-star reviews. Like it's just a good service and it's a good buzz. Like
no money was involved in getting those reviews. And, you know, I did my group ones myself, you know, I'd go around at the end and be like, just tell us what you think. And
yeah,
it helps us, you know, like if you get a bad review, you kind of analyze it and you say, you know, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world.
No,
people are only saying that because they wanted a different experience. And, you know, those ones that we've seen, we've improved on every time and we keep going. We got a lot of people in that office working really hard to make these tours the best thing since sliced bread, you know?
Happy days, man. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then what's the crackdown with the Hayden podcast? So yeah, is that a weekly podcast or?
The Hayden Project, it's our podcast, our gaming podcast. We talk about everything gaming, you know, old, new. We've got all the new stuff. At the minute, we're talking about blockchain games. So stuff that's kind of involved more with like cryptocurrency and how these have developed to games. So we've got a whole series bringing that out at the minute. You know, we're doing that weekly. We haven't done one for like about a week now, but we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And if you do want to follow us on Instagram, it's the Hayden Project, one word. And yeah, you'll find us on there. We try and update weekly on what we're doing. And yeah, for sure. If you like games, do it.
That's the thing. I can definitely say I'm a gamer and I've been listening to a shit ton of your podcasts. It's kind of weird though when you've been like whispering sweet nothings in my ear for the last while because I knew we were going to have this meeting and things like that. So it's always good to have some chap just like talk you to sleep. It's great, you know?
yeah, exactly. No, this podcast has been so much fun, man. I've got to say, like, this is such a great idea. Like I said, it's like Hot Wings. I'm a big, big like Hot Ones fan on YouTube. And when you said we were doing this, I'm like, you know, it's lived up to expectations. I'm so happy I did this.
Cheers, man. Thank you so much for everything. And is there anyone then that you want to give a shout out to? Do you want to give a shout out to your dog or your brother?
I'll give a shout out to my dog, Barney. Still a little shit. I will take you for your walk in a minute. Don't stop scratching my leg. I will get there. Apart from that, shout out to you for bringing this podcast on. I've had so much fun.
I definitely think now, like, once all this stuff kind of starts opening up and intro and things like that, definitely gonna have to book on and just go eat and get 2 weeks away, 2 weeks of sunshine and fun and go start visiting a couple of temples and waterfalls and shit like that again. I'm getting some serious withdrawals.
You never know. I might be your group leader.
I'm gonna recommend that. I'm gonna say, no, Dan has to do it. Everyone else can fuck off.
I'll give you your money if Dan's my group leader.
little sneaky brown envelopes, backhanders, good stuff, man. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast and happy days.